The plagues that came on Egypt had destroyed the land. The death angel had taken their firstborn, and as the Israelites left, they took Egypt's wealth. As God led them out of Egypt, the most direct route to the land of promise, to the land of Canaan, was through the land of the Philistines. But God didn't lead them that most direct route. It says in Exodus 13, verses 17 and 18, God said, "Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt." He said, if I go through the land of the Philistines, they're going to have to fight. And if they have to fight, they might decide that they want to go back to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And it's at the Red Sea that we find the Israelites in our scripture reading this morning. They're in somewhat of a pickle, you might say, because on either side of them is a mountain, big, big mountain. In front of them is the Red Sea, and behind them is an angry Pharaoh and an angry army of Egypt. And when the Israelites saw, and by the way, the intent of the Egyptians was to get their slaves back. You can read it earlier in the book of Exodus. Pharaoh and the people of Egypt got together and they said, "What have we done? We've let our slaves go. We're going to go get them back. And if some of them happen to die in the process of getting them back, so be it." The Bible says that the Israelites, when they saw the Egyptians, they were sore afraid, and they cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." What they said to Moses is, this is exactly what we told you was going to happen. When you first came and you said that God had sent you to set us free, we said, just leave us alone. Let us continue to serve the Egyptians, because if you take us out in the wilderness, we know we're going to die. And that brings us up to the text, the verses that we read a moment ago, where Moses says, don't be afraid. People were so afraid. They were very afraid. They were shaking in their boots, so to speak. And Moses says, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, the Lord shall fight for you. And then God said unto Moses, he said, you speak until the children of Israel, and you tell them to go forward. Moses, you go talk to our people, my people and your people, the people that I've gotten out of Egypt, I've led out of Egypt, and use you to lead them out of Egypt. You go back to those people and you tell them to go forward. I'm glad we have a God that doesn't know the word retreat. I'm glad we have a God that doesn't give up. I'm glad we have a God that doesn't surrender. I'm glad that we have a God that when we're surrounded, that we can see, when we can see no way out, when it seems that the events of the world and the enemy is around us, I'm glad that we have a God that says, go forward, advance, keep going, move ahead, and I'm glad that we have a God like that. Now the Israelites that day, when they heard Moses say this, they looked in front of him and they said this, God, we got a little problem. Do you see what's in front of us? I mean, there's this Red Sea. There's this body of water. A lot of people say, well, the Red Sea was just a little creek at that time. No, I don't think it was. I think once you got out a little ways, you were over your head and it was deep. And they said to God, you told us to go forward. We don't see a boat. We don't see a bridge. What exactly do you mean when you say, go forward? And God says, I mean exactly what I said. When I said, go forward, I meant go forward. I want to make 3 points this morning. Number one, God made a way. When he said, go forward, and the people said, well, we'd like to go forward, but there's this big body of ocean in front of us, God made a way. He said, Moses, I want you to take your rod, and I want you to stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel are going to walk on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, when the Israelites were there, and the mountain on either side, and the army of Egypt behind them, and the Red Sea in front of them, they could see no way out. I mean, they could see no solution to their problem. They said, and that's why they said to Moses, this is exactly, we told you this was going to happen. You're going to get us out here in the wilderness, and we're going to be killed. The army of Egypt is going to wipe every single one of us out. They're going to kill us, and those that don't kill, they're going to take back as slaves. And in the midst of those things that were around them, the mountains and the army of Egypt and the sea, the people could not see a way out. They could not see a solution to their problem. They were trapped. And they said, we have no hope. We're all going to die. And that, my dear friend, is a condition that we all have to get in for God to work. You see, if the Israelites had said, well, maybe we could raise an army and turn around and fight against Egypt. Or maybe we could build real quickly something that would get us up one of these mountains. Or maybe we could construct a bridge real quick and get across the sea. And as long as we try to work our own solutions in the midst of problems, God cannot be God. But when we say, like the Israelites, there is no hope, there is no way, there is no solution, there is no escape, that's when God can be God. That's when God can move in and do what only God could do. And that's what he said. He said, let me be God. Let me do something that nobody else can do. Moses, take that rod and lift up your hand over the sea, and I'm going to split it right down the middle. I'm going to make a dry path right through the middle of it, and the Israelites are going to walk through the middle of that sea on dry ground. God will make a way. He made a way. Point number two, he protected his people while he gave them an opportunity to take that way. You know, when they came out of Egypt, God led them a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And when this was going on, if you can read about it earlier in the chapter, here's what God did. He took that pillar of cloud that he used to lead his people, and it was usually out in front of his people. He moved that pillar of cloud behind them. And the Bible says that that pillar of cloud became a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians. They couldn't see. I mean, you talk about being pitch black. There wasn't any street lights to provide light. It was completely dark. It was completely black, the darkest of midnights. And the Egyptians could not see which way to go. The Bible also says that that pillar of cloud was a light to the Israelites. And so while they were getting ready to cross, to go through that Red Sea on dry ground, they had the light of day. And God protected his people to give them an opportunity to take the way that he provided out of this mess that they were in. Point number three, the place that he was taking his people was a whole lot better place than they had been. You see, they had been slaves in Egypt. They were going to the land of Canaan. They were going to the promised land. A land, the Bible says, that flowed with milk and honey. A land where the grapes of Eshcol, when Joshua sent spies into the land of Canaan, they picked some of the fruit and they picked from some grapes from a place called Eshcol. And these grapes were so big that two men had to carry a stick between them to carry the grapes. This was a land that God had prepared for his people, a land that drank in the rain from heaven, a land that produced the richest of crops, that provided pasture land for their animals, a land where they could be free, a land where they could own land and own houses and plant crops and have herds. And this was a far better place than they had when they were in Egypt. Now, this little story paints a wonderful picture as to what God wants to do for every single person in this room this morning. Let me tell you what I mean. You see, there's two groups of people in this room this morning. There's those of you that have already asked Jesus to be your Savior. You're saved, you're Christian, you're on your way to heaven. And then there's a smaller group this morning that have not made that decision yet. You've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. Let me speak to you first and tell you what God wants to do for you. And it's pictured in this little story. You see, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you are surrounded by sin. It's all around you. It's got you in its grip. The Bible says that we are a slave of sin. And sin has surrounded you just like the Israelites had the Red Sea in front and the mountains on either side and the army of Egypt behind them. Sin surrounds you. And sort of keeping the picture, Satan might be represented by Pharaoh. Satan is coming up to get you, to take you for all eternity. I mean, he's coming after you. He wants you, just like Pharaoh wanted the Israelites back. Satan wants you for his kingdom. He wants to take you to hell. He wants you to be apart from God forever and ever and ever. And he's got you surrounded. There is no way out from a human standpoint. And you can do everything that you can think of. You can say, hey, I'm going to live a good life. I'm going to live by the golden rule. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do good things. I'm going to break this grip that sin has on me, and I'm going to get free from it. Well, I got some news for you. There's nothing that you can do to break the grip of sin. It's gotcha, and it will take you away from God forever and ever and ever and ever. And I want to tell you something. As long as you try to work out your sin problem on your own, God will just set back like he did to the Israelites and said, okay, take your best shot at it. But I tell you what, ain't nothing you're going to do that will work. Not very good English, but it sure is good preaching. Ain't nothing that you will do is going to work, because the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And there's nothing that you or I can do to break the grip that sin has on our life. There's nothing that you and I can do to escape Satan. And it's only when we come to the point in our life, like many in this room came, when we come to the point in our life when we realize that we're a sinner and that we're headed for hell and there's nothing that we can do to change that, and we say it's hopeless. Dear God, I can't do it myself. I need you to do something. It's only when we come to that point when we realize we're lost and there's nothing that we can do that God can be God. And he says, I'll make a way. I'll make a way out of that sin. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now I want to remind you this morning of the second point. God has protected you up until this point in your life so that you would have an opportunity to take that way. He's kept you alive. He's put all the experiences into your life that he's put into your life. And why do you think you're here today? You think it was just an accident? You think it was just a series of coincidences that resulted in you being here today? No, 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 no. I will tell you, you're here today by divine appointment. You're here today because God wanted you to be here today. You're here today because God protected you and brought you to this point in your life so that you could hear about the way, the truth, and the life, that you could hear about the way out of sin, that you could hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you're here this morning. God has protected you to give you an opportunity to take that way. And then point number three, I want to tell you something. That way leads to a whole lot better place than you're living in now. That way leads to a whole lot better place than where you're headed now. Apart from Jesus Christ, you're headed for hell. If you take the way that God provides, you can go to heaven. And I tell you what, heaven is sure a lot more wonderful than hell is. The Bible says that hell is a bottomless pit, but that heaven, there's foundations and there's streets of gold. The Bible says that in hell, it's eternal darkness. The Bible says in heaven, there is no night. The Bible says in hell, there's pain and agony and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says in heaven, there's no pain and no tears. The Bible says that in hell, there's murderers and liars. The Bible says in heaven, the righteous in Christ live. The way that God provides out of your sin leads to a whole lot better place than where you're headed now. God, just like God didn't force the Israelites to take that path through the Red Sea, He forces nobody to receive Jesus Christ. He provides the way. He protects you to give you an opportunity to take that way, but the way to take it is yours, or the decision to take it is yours. I can't make it for you. This church can't make it for you. Only you can make it. Only you can say, I'm a sinner. Only you can say, dear Jesus, I take you as my Savior. Now quickly, let me speak to the Christians that are here. Sometimes it seems that the circumstances in life surround us just like the Israelites were surrounded. We got the Red Sea in front of us. We got mountains on either side. We got the Egyptian army behind us. And sometimes it seems like the heartaches and the trials and the problems of life, if we just turned around in a circle, regardless of which direction we look, regardless of where we look, there's some heartache or problem or trial that we have. And God, gives us the opportunity to solve those problems ourselves. Sometimes I just think about how God must think about us in heaven. We get in the middle of the problem and He's just sort of standing there like this. Well, go ahead, take your best shot. And He just waits for us to come to the point in our life where we say, God, I can't do it myself. I don't know what to do next. I don't know what step to take next. I just don't know what to do. And God says, okay, I can be God now. And He'll make a way. He'll make a way. You see, God can't work a miracle until we realize that the situation is hopeless. God can't do what only He can do until we get ourselves out of the way. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is the Lord's hand waxed short that He can't keep every promise that He made? No. We have a God that can do the impossible. And I don't care what kind of problems or trials or heartaches surround you this morning, whether it's sickness, whether it's relationship problems, I don't care what it is. We have a God that will make a way. And He'll protect you until you can take that way. I mean, we may pull all our hair out. We may lose every nerve that we have. We may come to the end of our resources. But God will protect His people until they see the way and have a chance to take that way. And it goes without saying that His way is a whole lot better than our way. Huh? Hey, I have a vivid imagination, and I can dream up some neat stuff, but I tell you what, I don't come close to what God can do. Don't come close to what God can do if we'll just let Him be God. So Moses said, go forward. Go forward. Well, hey, we'd like to, but there's a little problem. There's this big body of water in front of us. What do you mean, go forward? God said, you go ahead. You go forward. I'll make a way. I'll make a way. And I'm glad that we serve a God that always, always, always makes a way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being that kind of God. Thank you for being aware of what's going on in our life. The problems and the trials and the heartaches. None of those things come into our life without you allowing them to come. And I pray, Father, that when we get in the midst of those circumstances, we will not forget the kind of God that we have. I pray for every Christian that's here. I pray that we would remember that you are the God that doeth wonders. And we just step back and quit trying to fix everything ourselves. And we just lean on you and depend on you. And then, Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Christ as their Savior. Would you help them feel the grip of sin? Would you help them to understand that sin, it will take them to hell? They'll be there forever, separated from you. Would you help them see the way that you made? Jesus, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And would you help them this morning decide, hey, I'm going to trust Christ and what he did for me on Calvary as payment for my sins. I can't do it any other way. I can't be good enough. I can't pay enough money. I can't join enough churches. I can only depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you help them to do that today? For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.